here's May.
Good evening. This is May Brussel in Carmel, California. This is broadcast number 495, and it's May 31st, 1981. In all of the years that I've been broadcasting on KLRB and on other stations, it's 9 years going into my 10th year, I've never had a news story so ripe with conspiracies and interlocking intrigue as a story that broke this week. It's Italy's Watergate, or it's a continuation of our assassination syndrome and our Watergate scandal, all wrapped up into a ball of wax that broke in the news just last week on a Reuters news story, Masonic Lodge Scandal Shakes Italian Regime. And most of this broadcast this evening is going into the background of that scandal as it broke just this week because of the interlocking links to the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan and the assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II, and then hopefully get through enough material on this scandal and other material in the next week or two to show the interconnections between those two events and the scandal breaking in Italy at this time. Since the first of the year, just before 1981, John Lennon was shot in December of 1980, then there was the assassination plot in Spain, a coup to kill the King of Spain. Those plans to kill the royal family were revealed last week after the seizure of the bank by the fascist group in Spain. February 1980 was the first attempted coup, and the murder plots just came out this week. The Bolivian government has changed hands in the last week. They agreed military dictators would change seats, so that government has toppled. This past week, there was a murder attempt in the United States on the President of the United States, a murder attempt on the Pope. 2 months later, the president of Bangladesh was murdered yesterday, and the president of Ecuador was murdered just last Sunday night. When I was coming to KLRB, I heard about it. So a lot of heads of states are falling. There are a lot of people behind these assassination attempts. Whether the murders are successful or merely attempts, there are a warning of what to expect in the future. And I'm going into the Italian scandal in just a few moments. Preceding the shooting of Ronald Reagan and the shooting of Pope John Paul II, I had been talking for many, many weeks in the past year on the missing money, the fascist money that is going into Argentine, South America, and literally the Odessa, the worldwide fascist organizations, not just ordinary bank robberies for personal reasons, but fascists who have claimed credit for the robberies in order to finance their fascist activities. I've talked about $60 million involved with a Jack Bender going down to Uruguay and with Mengele's down there, and fascist money from Toronto, Canada, to Swiss insurance companies, to Los Angeles, Monaco, and a fellow out of Philippines who removed $18 million, and then another $100 million, Billy D. And I did a program on West Germany's bank heist, money being taken out of San Francisco, robberies, $45 million in the past year or so, the Wells Fargo, $200 to $300 million missing, the Michael Sindona scandal of the Vatican money and interlocking links to organized crime, the $45 million out of the Franklin National Bank alone. I'm going to zero in on Michael Sindona because he is integrally related to this plot that is unfolding in Italy at the present time, and because he was the financier for the Vatican and worked with Pope Paul VI, who was the godfather, literally, of John Paul II. The missing money of Sindona and its interconnecting links to organized crime and the mob and the Vatican now unfolds with its links to Argentina and to a secret organization inside of Italy that has allegiance to a fascist group that worked with Mussolini, as against the real allegiance to the Vatican or the Pope. I've been saying that that was the role of Sindona a long time, and now this evidence is coming out. Sindona was under investigation for $11 million that went to this country, to the Christian Democratic Party in Italy that he was funding, and members of that party are caught in the scandal. And also the Great Nugent Hand Bank, the CIA bank from Australia, was funding the Christian Democratic Party also, so that the organized crime, the CIA, the heroin traffic was coming into the political party in Italy that is now being changing hands and being removed because of this terrible scandal that's taking place. Before I go into that for one moment, I want to call attention to an article in the Wall Street Journal this past week, May 21st. It's called An Inside Job, Like Wells Fargo Case, the Chase Manhattan Bank in New York is Missing $20 Million. I did a list of millions of dollars, adding up to about $22 billion that this particular team have access to, which is a large amount of money for espionage or coup d'etats or silencing police forces. And the latest missing money, in quotes, is from Chase Manhattan. It has tentacles to people working inside the organization in New York, who longtime workers, 26 years at the bank, and another one, 14 years. And now they're saying, oh, we have our problems, too. We happen to be missing $20 million. What they do is pluck $20 million out and give it to particular agents then that aren't on the book of the intelligence community, like the CIA or the FBI or the National Security Agency. They chalk it up to a bank loss, and then that money goes to fund espionage operations wherever they want them to go. Now, in as much as time allows, when I get through discussing the Masonic Lodge scandal in Italy, I will continue on with the Nugent Hand Bank story and its links to the Italian teams, the Nugent Hand stories and the links to the Vatican, the Christian Democratic Party as the recipients of funds from both places, the missing millions of the Italian government scandal. I talked about that on KLRB March 15th, 1981, called Fraudissimo, about the missing money, and that is the money that is causing the Italian government to change hands, but not only the government, but high officials in the government. And then I want to go into the dual job of Paul C. Marcinkus. He's the bishop in charge of the Pope. He's the chief bodyguard for the Pope wherever he travels out of Rome. And he also happens to be the highest-ranking American in the Vatican and the president of the Vatican Bank. So that Marcinkus is in charge of all the Vatican funds, and he's an American citizen, actually, from Cicero, Illinois, which is the home of the Al Capone gang and the Sicilian mob that moved into the United States. So that Cicero, Illinois claims fame to the headquarters of the and heart of the Italian mobs, and their fellow from Cicero, Illinois, is in charge of the funds at the Vatican Bank, and you can see that gets a little complicated. And then I will go into detail further into a book, The Final Conclave, of the investments of Sindona into Gulf and Western, and they're owning the Watergate Hotel and large control of Madison Square Garden, and the links of Harold Smith, the man that was involved with the at least $21 million out of the Wells Fargo Bank, and he alleges there's $300 million that's been going on for 8 to 10 years in espionage, the role of Gulf and Western to Wells Fargo, to Madison Square Garden, to Ronald Reagan, and Frank Sinatra. And then we get back into the White House to Ronald Reagan. All of these items are an accumulation of stories that are interlocking that I will lead to. And then Mehmet Aje, who took a potshot at the Pope. I'll go into the chronology of where he was from January 1979 until November 79, what was going on in the world when he left a message in November 79 that he would kill the Pope. And then a year and a few months later, he's in St. Peter's Square. And then the links, of course, Aja of Aja to West Germany banks, the Nazi, fascist heroin traffickers, and again, the scandal in the Italian government now. All of this is interlocking and explains why there were shots at Pope John Paul at this time. The link of heroin traffic and a fascism that did not end with World War II, but which is very ripe, and a peak of it came out just this past week. We got a good view of it just in a few news stories that I'm going to share with you in case you missed it or didn't see it. Some of the papers had a Washington Post back on page 28 instead of a headline story, which it should have been. But just before I get to that in detail, I do want to mention again a very quiet story that didn't make the headlines everywhere. The New York Daily News or the New York Post, one of the two, had a large story this week that Joseph Mengele, the notorious angel of death from Auschwitz, has been very much alive in New Jersey and Westchester, New York. He has a relative living in New Jersey who has a farm manufacturing company called Krona Manganese Neumayer. And he also worked for that. The firm is well known in Germany. When he left Auschwitz, he never was wanted as a war criminal. He was never wanted at Nuremberg trials. And when he was recognized in Germany, he went on down to South America. And I've alleged for a long time that Manganese has been in and out of this country, that the FBI has documents. He is, in fact, American citizen since the 1930s. And I've had information from people that he's been in Nevada City not too long ago, and now it turns out that he was very much seen in Westchester County, a headquarters of narcotics, organized crime, and his crew from Uruguay and Paraguay and Chile and Argentina have a lot of activity up in Westchester County and in New Jersey where he was. And Manganese does travel in the United States, has lived here, goes in and out of the United States. That was confirmed by another series of articles that just came out this week, but those of you who are familiar with this program know that I've been saying this has been happening for a long time. There are a lot of people that are outraged by the experiments he did at Auschwitz, his extermination policies, his treacherous experimentations on people, all kinds of body experiments. But there are many other people that consider him a fine, reputable citizen, and they look upon those victims at Auschwitz as animals or beasts, and they don't think of him as torturing. And I believe that if we look farther, we'll find the boys from Brazil, the movie was made about Manganese, will in fact be the boys from Guyana. I've said that also at the time of the Jonestown massacres. Joe Holsinger, the aide to Leo Ryan, who was murdered down at Jonestown, had given me the phone number of a doctor in Westchester County who allegedly supplied the bulk of the drugs for Jonestown. And I never called him, and I kept the number, but that's an interesting point now because of Manganese's association with there in Westchester and experimentation of electrodes and the surgery without anesthetics and the mistreatment and the narcotic or mind experimental drugs that were down in Jonestown. As I said before, the book The Children of Jonestown tells about enough drugs for a population of 60,000 in the laboratory, and there were just at the most 900 to 1,000 people there, but there were different accounts, as you know, when they first were counted, the bodies over 400, and then the number was greater the next day. So I was told that the drugs, the bulk of them, came for their experimentation or treatment from Westchester. So it would be interesting now to see if Manganese and this pharmacist who sent them to Jim Jones had any connection, and if the boys from Guyana are the boys from Brazil. And I've had a deep feeling for a long time that there were connecting links between the Jonestown experimentations and Joseph Manganese from Auschwitz. Well, I'm going into the articles as they broke this week because there weren't that many, but they were very important, and they were pertinent to what I've been saying over the past 9 years on these programs. The San Francisco Chronicle had a small article titled Masonic Lodge Scandal Shakes the Italian Regime. This was a Reuters news service, the first story. It was not an American wire service. And the article says the Italian cabinet appears certain to be reshuffled. The government could fall. Several prominent politicians belong to a secret Masonic lodge. The first story said that several prominent, it later turns out to be hundreds of the most important people in the Italian government or well-known citizens, if they're not government officials, in Italy are part of a particular Masonic lodge. There are 550 Masonic lodges in Italy, but one of them is the core of the secret team, the government behind the government that has allegiance to Argentina and to a Nazi fascist regime outside of their government of Italy. There is a list obtained of 963 people who are members of this secret team, and this is the kind of thing that Fletcher Prouty wrote in his book, The Secret Team. This is the one in Italy. The first account said there were two cabinet ministers, 30 members of the parliament, the leader of a government party, the chief of the defense staff, which would be like our Caspar Weinberger here, having allegiance to Mussolini's team or Hitler's team instead of the President of the United States, which is, in fact, what I think they have. And also the heads of the Secret Service were named in Italy, and I'll go into the comparisons to the Secret Service in the United States. They have an order called the P2, that's an abbreviation for their lodge, the P2 Lodge, a specific Masonic organization which, it quotes, in reality, seems to have been the center of a hidden and corrupt power. This was the first account from Reuters. The Lodge Brothers, a member of this lodge, included Michael Sindona, the fellow I've been talking about week after week on KLRB, who's now supposed to be serving 25 years of jail in the United States for the collapse of his banking empires. He's an attorney who had two banks in Italy and took over the Franklin National Bank in New York City, where $45 million all of a sudden was missing, and he's serving 25 years in jail. He was the financier with Pope Paul VI to make the investments of the Vatican that he put into American corporations like Pan America, IBM, Gulf and Western, Madison Square Garden. He took Vatican money and put it into American corporations, then combined it with the Gambino family of organized crime. So you had American corporations, organized crime, and the Vatican. And now it turns out that he's a member of the secret lodge that swears allegiance to South America and Argentina and that group. And in fact, wasn't really representing the Church of the Vatican, the religious organization, but was siphoning their money away for a secret society. Two financiers in Italy, Robert Calvi and Paolo Bonomi, I'll go into them later, were arrested for fraud. The fraud that I mentioned weeks ago on this program in March, as I say, it was called Fraudissimo in Time magazine, has to do with $2 billion that they took out of the country that was supposed to be oil and energy tax money that belonged to the Italian people, $2 billion, and sent it to Argentina and to the allegiance down there to that organization in Argentina instead of belonging in Italy. And I don't want to digress too far, but I'll give a comparable article weeks from now on American oil money equaling $2 billion that has been siphoned out of this country, also that belongs to the people. The first article said that all the members of this secret, illegal Mason Society had sworn their loyalty to Elisio Gelli, G-E-L-L-I, who worked with the SS troop, the Secret Service troop of Mussolini. He was the liaison of the SS to Mussolini, and they swore their loyalty to Gelli, the lodge's grand master. And Gelli has two citizenships, too, one to Argentina and one to Italy at the same time. Gelli fled the country at the time of the oil scandal breaking, the $2 billion that the government lost in Italy, and he's down, allegedly down in Argentina at the present time. Flaminio Piccoli, the secretary of the Christian Democratic Party, said that the membership of the Christian Democratic Party and the adherence to the Freemasons cannot be other than incompatible. The Christian Democratic Party was claiming that there was no way that they could be Freemasons and be the Christian Democratic Party, and yet Michael Sindona, a member of this Masonic Lodge, was funding the Christian Democratic Party, and members of that were part of the secret team. So the first story that came out had to do with several of the people in the government, several politicians. The next article came from the New York Times, a writer, Henry Tanner, May 24th. That was a week ago today. It was titled, "The Italian Elite Are Embroiled in a Scandal." The Masonic scandal is wrapping up the Italian elite. And this is what the New York Times had to say. The growing scandal surrounding the Masonic Lodge has shaken the coalition government of Prime Minister Forlani and has dwarfed all other scandals that Italy has endured in the last 30 years. Now, to say that it has dwarfed every other scandal is to put a parallel, because it is directly related to those people and investments of that were caught at the time of Watergate in the United States that were never apprehended or sent to jail or were sent to jail for the tap on the wrist. This is the biggest scandal in Italy in 30 years, and it is the delayed reaction to things that were not solved at the time of Watergate that are coming out now. The scandal, according to the New York Times, has been simmering for months. That is a good quotation because, as I say, the past months on this program, I have been reading all of the fraud money of millions of dollars from various countries being sent down to these fascist organizations to be used for guns and narcotics and the overthrow of particular governments and assassinations around the world. And that is why on March 29th on KLRB, I announced that either the United States would go to war against Poland, which General Haig was working up to a frothy, or we'd have a coup d'etat in this country because these scandals could not hold anymore. The stories were breaking, and somebody had to put a stop to the banking money that was leaving. And I gave the example of $55 million out of the city of Berlin, the $2 billion out of Italy, and hundreds of millions out of the United States banks. It can't go on indefinitely. And as heads of states are killed, and you look into those murders or the bank robberies go or the missing money, it always taps back to the same sources. And that's why I knew March 29th that something had to come down quickly, because these stories were breaking all over the world, similar to a bucket of corn popping and becoming visible all of a sudden as a large, large scandal. And 12 hours after the program on KLRB, there was the assassination attempt of Ronald Reagan, who's directly linked to the Michael Sindona, Nugent Hayne, Wells Fargo scandals, that assassination attempt on Reagan. And as long as they had the coup where George Bush of the CIA and Alexander Haig could take over and push Reagan in the background, then the troops in Poland could go home. There's no confrontation of Poland, and Poland isn't even in the news. After they shot Reagan and had what they wanted, Poland is forgotten and pushed in the back burner. Back to the New York Times article, they explained that P2, the initial for this secret lodge, particular lodge, is called Propaganda Dewey, D-U-E, Propaganda. And it's involved, they said, in the scandal involved our members of parliament. See, it gets bigger than several. It involves judges in Italy, in the army and police generals, bankers, and well-known journalists. So it begins to grow. You have the parliament, the legal establishment, the military, the local police, the bankers, and the journalists. And when I say there is a coup d'etat in this country to overthrow the government, whether it's John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, or Martin Luther King, it involves members of Congress, it involves justices of the Supreme Court and judges, it involves members of our army, members of the police department, particular bankers, and newspaper syndicates that keep a lid on it. All of those elements in our conspiracies and assassinations are linked also to the secret society that is less secret this week because the stories are breaking. Now, it could be that a lot of this is coming out because Mohammed Aja from Turkey, who is linked to this and the assassination attempt on the Pope, is sitting in jail in Rome, and he might be talking, and he might be giving out connecting links. And that's why this story broke this week, because he's laughing and joking. And they have a scandal, which maybe they were going to tap some risk for the $2 billion going to Argentina. But with the shooting of the Pope and his sitting in the jail, it just may be that this is why the story of the scandal had to come out of the parliament, the judges, the army, the police, the bankers, and the journalists. Now, Mr. Lucio Gelli, G-E-L-L-I, as I say, is the grand master for the spying, and he holds dual citizenship. And another member of his gang, Mr. Sarti, a member of the Christian Democratic Party, who said they said it was inconsistent to belong to both, is also part of the lodge, the secret society of the lodge. Now, the New York Times had another section in this article on the members of the government who were involved and has a list of their names and the Grand Master's affiliation, as I say, to Argentine and the fascist organizations. The goals of the Grand Master, according to the New York Times, was to bring under his control a large number of powerful and highly placed persons and break down for the first time in Italian history the separation between political, administrative, military, and economic spheres. Now, this is what happened when Hitler took over in Germany in 1933, and this is what happened after John Kennedy was killed in November of 1963, the continuous killing of particular leaders like John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Adlai Stevenson, Estes Kefauver, or even I think that Drew Pearson was murdered, or Walter Winchell, journalists or people that do not play the game that runs into the hundreds. The goal isn't any different than stated in the New York Times this week. The Grandmaster wants to bring under the control a large number of powerful people, highly placed to break down, first time in Italian history, the separation of the political, administrative, military, and economic spheres. And this is what happened in Dallas in 1963, was to break down in the United States the separation of the elements of our government and put them under the control of one large hierarchy, which they've been trying to do from Dallas up to the Reagan administration. Gelli, according to the New York Times, constructed a state within a state, a very real state within a state. And that's exactly what Alan Dulles did in planning the assassination of John Kennedy. I wrote about that in my first published article, Why Was Martha Mitchell Kidnapped? The establishment of the state within a state. And in Italy now, a piece of that is being exposed. Now, the method that they used, according to the New York Times, was blackmail. They promised favors, advancement, and bribes, but blackmail. And I've talked many times on the women, the organized crime links to public officials, the sexual pictures that people like Edward Bennett Williams, the attorney for the John Hinckley boy or man, holds in his pockets, the blackmailing of all political figures and military officials, generals, admirals, that the Howard Hughes organization had, the sexual exploits, the use of the mob for blackmail and entrapping various people. The same technique was used in Germany, and it was used by Bobby Baker and Lyndon Johnson. It was used by J. Edgar Hoover and William Sullivan of the FBI. The techniques aren't any different. The important thing is that all the techniques that I've been talking about for the past years are surfacing now at this time because, as I say, there are very few countries or people that can survive if we allow these things to keep going, and the Italian courts are arresting people and putting them in jail and making these charges. The banks in Italy have been charged with exporting large sums of money because of the dual citizenship, and they are also charging Mr. Gelli with the fake kidnapping of Michael Sindona. When Sindona was arrested in the United States for the bank fraud and the financial shenanigans, he took a little trip to Luxembourg in Italy to see his buddies, and a few judges were killed, dropped dead on the spot, and Sindona took a trip to Italy to get either his payoff or his message, and then he came back to the United States, and he had passports to travel. And this group is responsible for the, in quotes, kidnapping. They simply put him on a plane, and our Secret Service and Interpol and the American officials allowed him to go to Italy to clean up the loose ends, and this group were involved with Sindona leaving the country and coming back. This Robert Califf, the president of the Banco Ambrosiano and La Centrale Finanziaria, I may not pronounce those properly, these important banks in Italy, financial organizations, are involved in this scandal. Six members of the board of the La Centrale, a large bank in Italy, were arrested this week. They've been arrested, and the head of a large investment financial company, one of the four largest in Italy, has been arrested for his dual allegiance to the Odessa down in Argentina and not to Italy, to world fascism as against taking care of their own country at home. I'll do more on the Italian scandal in one moment. We'll take a one-minute break, and then we'll be back with some more on the story that is breaking now in Italy.
This concludes the first half of World Watchers International with Mae Brussel. We will return with the second half after a brief pause.